Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Brother Ben, for this opportunity and for the chance to be back at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We always enjoy stopping by here, and usually we're on our way further west, and a lot of times we're on our way back toward the east. In this case, we're on our way back home. So beginning Wednesday morning, we'll be headed toward Des Moines, Iowa for a meeting Wednesday night, and then on to Illinois for a couple of days stay there, and then we'll be at a church in Salina, Ohio for the weekend. And then after that, we make a beeline for Virginia and be there for a few days, and then we take off to some other places and end up in South Georgia, as Isaac was saying, the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. So we'll be down there. And Brother Burrow, what was his first name? I can't. Brother Raymond Burrow was the pastor there at Bible Baptist Church in Vidalia. Anybody ever heard of Vidalia Onions? That's where that church is at. And I'm talking about, brother, they got the onions in that country. And cabbages, too. They raise a lot of cabbages. And my understanding is that you can grow the same onion, the very exact same thing, anywhere else, but you can't call it a Vidalia. It might be a Texas Sweet or something like that, but they got a trademark on it, and you can't call it a Vidalia onion unless it comes from Vidalia, Georgia. But I love those Vidalia onions. They're good, and they're sweet, and I enjoy that. But they raise cabbages down there, and when they harvest those cabbages, look out. Because they let a lot of the leaves just canker in the field. Shoo-wee. You talking about a stink now when those cabbages start rotting in the fields, or the leaves or leftovers start rotting, and then you got some smell going on. But anyhow, sauerkraut. Yeah, if you got some German in you, you might like to hang around down there. But anyhow, I like sauerkraut. I'm an Englishman, but I still like sauerkraut. Good stuff. In fact, we got some brewing right now, don't we? That's right. We got some brewing at home. Good old sauerkraut. Anybody else like sauerkraut? Got a few, okay. I love sauerkraut, especially homemade. But old brother, the only thing you ever had was store-bought, you need to make you some at home. It'd take you to another level, I'm telling you. Get you some home sauerkraut. I don't know how we got off on pecan pies and sauerkraut tonight, but anyhow, you can tell we Baptists like to eat, right? By the way, we Baptists, preachers like Southern fried chicken. You know what this is? This is a fence around a chicken graveyard. I put a lot in that. Put a lot of birds to rest right down there. But anyhow, it's good to laugh, isn't it? You know, Billy Kelly. Anybody ever remember Billy Kelly? Talking about Raymond Burrow. You remember the preacher in Sheffy, the movie Sheffy? Anybody seen the movie Sheffy? You remember the preacher that was preaching the camp meeting scene? His name was Walter Burrow. He was Brother Raymond's cousin. And Brother Walter Burrow was a real pastor from Georgia, Demarest, Georgia. And you remember while Sheffy was up on the mountain praying, and then the preacher down below was preaching the camp meeting scene out of John chapter 3. I asked Brother Burrow about that. We got to be with him down at the Return Baptist Church in Demarest, Georgia, about 6 months before he passed away. And I asked Brother Burrow, I said, I heard a story about that film when I was at Bob Jones when they were making that film back in 1965. And I said, I heard a story about that. I said, I want to verify, did it really happen? I said, I heard that some students got saved as they were doing the movie, right there on the movie set. Some of the BJ students fell under conviction, Brother Ben, while they were just acting it out. Of course, he was preaching out of John chapter 3. And you know, the Word of God is powerful. It don't matter whether you hear it in church or whether you hear it on a movie set. It's still powerful. And he said, I'll tell you about it. He said, it took us 19 times to get that camp meeting scene down right. Took us 19 tries. But anyway, he said, one time when they were rolling the film, you could sense that the Holy Spirit just fell down on the place. And Catherine Stenholm, the director of the film, she said, well, just let the cameras roll. Don't cut it. Just let it roll. He said some students got under conviction right there on the spot, on the movie set, and got saved. I think even while they were doing the invitation time. So isn't that good? God's powerful, and His Word is powerful. Let it speak to your heart tonight. Out of Ephesians chapter 6, would you stand to your feet as we read a portion out of God's holy and infallible and inspired Word tonight out of Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to preach for a few moments tonight on the belt of truth, talking about a belt. We're going to talk about a different belt tonight, all right? The spiritual belt is called the belt of truth. Look at it. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. We don't need any weaklings, spiritually speaking, in the Lord's army. God wants us to be strong. And in the power of His might. How are you going to be strong? You got to be in the Lord's might. We don't have any strength of our own, do we? We need the Lord's power. We need His might. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Well, if we've ever seen an evil day, we've lived to see it. We've lived to see it. These are turbulent times. These are perilous times. And I believe our country is hanging in the balance tonight. I don't know about you, but I believe right and wrong is the line has been drawn. The line has been drawn so clearly, I don't see how anybody could miss it. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Now that's four times in just these few verses. The Bible says said for us to take a stand. You think we ought to take a stand for Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, the song says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Isaac, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. I'd like to speak to you on the subject, the belt of truth, and about the Christian warrior and his armor. This is one piece of armor. We do need all these other pieces as well. I don't have time to talk about every piece of armor tonight, but I would like to key on this one because I think it's so important. You know, our society is changing. Have you ever seen in your life things change so quickly? I mean, over the last 10 or 12 years, it seems like, which, Brother Ben, it seems like our country was sort of doing this for a while. But over the last 10 to 12 years, it seems like it was going like this, and then it went like into a nosedive, spiritually speaking now, and evil, it seems like, abounds everywhere. I wish I could stand here tonight and say that I believe that our country, our churches, our homes, our culture is better off than it was when I was a boy. I cannot say that to you tonight. But when I was a boy growing up, truth meant something. Do you remember? When truth, you didn't debate. I mean, you could talk to a lost man most of the time, he's not going to debate God's word back 50, 60, 75 years ago. He's not going to... If God's word said it, brother, it was accepted as the truth. They didn't debate the concept of truth, though today seems like it's just up for grabs. It's whatever you might want to believe. I mean, so there's people that say, well, some truth is just something you can make it up as you go along. To other people, they say, well, there's no absolute truth. That's what our world would have you to believe. But there's our young people are being taught, brother, that it's, there's no absolutes in our world. There's no absolute truth. They're trying to destroy the faith upon which I believe our country was founded. I believe our pilgrims that came over from Europe, they came here seeking a way of life, brother, and it was founded some 200 years ago, more than 200 years ago, founded, I believe, upon the principles of God's holy and infallible word. Somehow or another, we have slipped. Somehow or another, we have fallen away from the truth and the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the Bible talks about. I tell you what, you know what Satan would have you to do tonight? By the way, if you don't watch out, he'll climb up on your shoulder and he'll whisper stuff in your ear. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to cause you to deny God's truthfulness and to cause you to think skeptically about God and His Word. That's what the world and the devil would have you to do tonight. I want to ask you a question. Can you revise the truth? You can talk to me tonight. Can you revise the truth? Can you edit the truth? Is the truth up for debate, or is it a concept that can be changed as our world changes around us? Brother, the truth is going to stand when this world is on fire. It's forever settled in heaven. We better line up with it. Satan is a liar. Oh, I better say that again. Satan is a liar. Did you get that? Satan is a liar. And brother, if you don't watch out, he'll hang one over on you. He's out to deceive the entire world. That's his goal. In fact, his antichrist, his man of sin, one day is going to appear. Brother, he's going to try to deceive the whole world. The whole world's going to be looking to him for all the answers. But he's not going to be the real one. He's going to be Satan's great master deceiver. Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is the father of liars and lies. Now, have you ever observed how many or how it seems like easy it is for people to believe a lie rather than believe the truth of God's word? It's amazing to me how people will climb a tree to believe a lie before they'll stand on solid ground and believe the truth. What causes people to do that? Or may I say, who causes people to do that? It's Satan himself. Causes people to want to believe a lie over the truth. Don't let him cause you to do that. And how are we going to stand against this onslaught of Satan who tries to make us doubt God's truth? Well, I tell you how. We need to put on God's belt of truth. Notice what it says again in verse 13 or 14. Stand therefore, he says, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins is your middle section. This girdle of truth is the first piece of armor mentioned. It must be very important. I believe truth, folks, is equal to integrity. If you lack truth in your life, you lack integrity. Now, this leather belt, we can visualize. Paul, he's in prison writing this. He may be chained to a Roman soldier who's got all this armor on. And Paul's looking at his armor and he said, man, I can get a spiritual lesson out of this. And he looks at his belt. Now, he didn't have a little skinny belt like I got. He's probably got a big old wide leather belt, sort of like the weightlifters wear and the motorcycle riders wear, big old thick wide leather belt. And brother, when the Roman soldier would go out into the war, into the battle, he would cinch up that belt real tight because it would protect his loins. It would protect his middle. It would be the center of his strength. He would use that belt to hang his weapons on, perhaps a dagger or a sword. And so that soldier's belt, that Roman soldier's belt, it held everything together. And without it, everything would fall apart. Well, same way with this spiritual belt. If we don't put on God's belt of truth, everything else is going to fall apart. Brother, we got to know the truth, first of all. We got to believe it. We got to love it. We got to tell it. We got to live the truth. Preacher, brethren, we got to preach the truth. As long as the Lord gives us breath and strength, we got to preach the truth of God's holy and infallible word. Because if you don't, your life is going to fall apart. I guarantee you, if you don't stand on God's truth, your family's going to fall apart. If you don't stand on God's truth, your church is going to fall apart. If you don't stand on God's truth, your country will fall apart. Now, if you're going to be a strong Christian for Jesus, come up a little bit closer. Let me give you a tip tonight. If you want to truly be a strong soldier of the cross, a strong Christian for Jesus Christ, you know what? Don't ever compromise the truth. Stand on the truth, brother, if the stars fall. Stand on the truth of God's Word. Now, how can you know the truth? You got to get into the book. You got to study it to know it. And not only that, you need the aid of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we need the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, Jesus told us that, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you're not saved, you don't have that Spirit of truth on the inside to lead you into all truth. You need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ, who is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is truth incarnate. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. You want to know truth? Come to Jesus. You want to look at truth? You look at Jesus. You want to follow truth? Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, truth is like that big wide belt on that soldier. That secure belt. It holds everything together. Without it, everything comes apart. It's the center. It's the foundation of our strength. Now, what does the truth do for the believer? Let me give you four things quickly. First of all, the truth provides a foundation on which to build. You know, a house is only as good as its foundation. A church is only as good as its foundation. A family is only as good as its foundation that is built on. A country is only as strong as its foundation. I tell you what, the truth is our only sure foundation. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Now, Jesus Christ was the living truth. He was the living word of God. But what did Jesus say about this written word? Well, I just read it. He said, thy word is truth. You can count on God's word, folks. You can build on it. John 18:37, Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, if you're one of His, you'll listen to Him. You'll listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and His word are the only source of absolute truth. Secondly, the truth provides freedom from bondage. You know, the truth is the only thing that can set you free from sin. People talk about freedom today. Well, if you don't get saved, you really don't know what freedom is. In fact, you're a slave. By the way, you're a slave anyhow. Did you get me? You're a slave whether you're saved or lost. You might say, well, explain that, Brother Rochester. Well, if you're saved, you're a bond slave to Jesus Christ. If you're lost, you know what? You're a slave to the devil. You're a slave to sin. You know, it seems like this world don't have much problem with you being a slave to sin. If they did, Walmart quit selling beer and liquor and all that stuff. They quit selling all these things that harms your body. If they was really interested in your welfare. By the way, when it comes to politicians, any politician that comes to me and tells me that they're for killing unborn innocent babies, I'm not going to pay much attention to him when he tells me I'm looking out for your welfare. You can mark it down. If they're willing to kill innocent, unborn babies They're not concerned for your welfare. You can put it down. They're not concerned for your welfare. I just threw that in extra. That wasn't part of the message, but I just threw that in. You can like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it. It's the truth. We're dealing with the truth tonight, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We're dealing with the truth. We might as well tell it. We might as well tell it. Don't ever be afraid to tell the truth. Don't ever be afraid to tell the truth. The truth is the only thing that can deliver you from the bondage of sin. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free." He said in John 8:34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Jesus said that, not me. Jesus said that if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. He said, you're the servant of sin. But I tell you what, he said in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Are you enslaved by sin tonight? I know the one who can free you from that. He can free you from the penalty. What is the penalty of sin? Hell, death and hell forever. That's the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only can Jesus deliver you from the penalty of sin, He can deliver you from the power of sin. Paul said in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Jesus can deliver you both from the bondage of sin and the power of sin. And thank God, you know what? One of these days, Jesus is going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. Brother, won't it be a glorious day when we have that glorified body? And one of the benefits, one of the greatest benefits, I think, of that, Brother Ben, is I'll never sin again. I praise the Lord for the day that I won't sin anymore. I haven't reached that point yet. But one of these days, God's going to give me a new body. And I'll never sin again. Oh, glorious day it's going to be. Boy, you know, we're talking about COVID-19. And I have said this from the very beginning, ever since I found out what COVID-19 was. I just hope we don't have another COVID-20 lurking around the corner. But ever since COVID-19 came out, I said, well, I wish people was as concerned about sinning as they are catching COVID-19. If people are as concerned about sin as they are COVID-19, brother, revival would break out in this country. People are a whole lot more concerned about that than they are sin. Boy, how we need to be concerned about sin. But I thank God for the day that God will give us that new body and we will never sin again. Jesus will do that for you when you trust Him. The truth provides a foundation on which to build. The truth provides freedom from bondage. Thirdly, the truth provides fitness for the battle. Now, we're not talking about physical fitness here, although, you know, it's good to be physically fit. But, brother, when it comes to spiritual things, being physically fit will not help you. We're talking about a spiritual warfare here. And we need to be strong, spiritually speaking, and we need to be fit for the battle. Now, Matthew Henry, he had something to say about this belt we're talking about. He said this belt of truth girds on all the other pieces of armor, and therefore is the first one mentioned. You might as well not even put on the other pieces of armor if you don't start off with the truth. This is what holds everything together, this belt of truth. You see that Roman soldier's belt, it held his scabbard, it held his sword. Well, we have a spiritual sword. Did you catch it in that verse? On down in verse number 17, it said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." That's our only offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. It's the only offensive weapon we need. All the rest of the pieces of armor are defensive. But brother, this one's offensive. Give people the Word of God. That's what they need. When we preach, we need to give out the Word of God. What I say don't make any difference, but what God says makes all the difference. It's God's Word that's going to get the job done. 1 Peter 1:13 compares this belt we're talking about with spiritual preparedness. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, we need to be fit for the battle as good soldiers, and the truth of God's word will make us prepared. Not only that, it'll make us productive. I like what Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12, and I believe he gives us the formula for being a productive and a successful and victorious soldier for Jesus Christ. Luke 12, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. He said, let your loins be girded about. Your loins be girded. I think he's talking about a working soldier. And then he says, and your lights burning. Did you hear what Jesus said? And your lights burning. I think he's talking about a witnessing soldier. And then he says in verse number 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. And look at verse 37. He says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. If we'll be those three things for Jesus until we go out of here by the grave or by the rapture, I think he will be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we're first a working soldier, if we're a witnessing soldier, and if we are a watching soldier, Jesus could come any moment. And I tell you what, if you're watching for Jesus to come any moment, you'll keep your life clean and pure. No doubt about that. Finally, tonight, the truth provides a footpath to blessing. Don't you want to be blessed? Now, when we think about blessed, I'm afraid many times we Americans, we think about more money in the bank. We tend to think about a freezer full of T-bone steaks, Omaha steaks. We think about, you know, new cars, new toys, new side-by-sides, all these kinds of things. We were just at a place where and I'm not throwing off on people. I mean, if they got money, they got money. But every child in the family had their own side-by-side. You know what a side-by-side is, don't you? It's one of those, not just a regular four-wheeler, but maybe two or four people can sit in this thing. Every child in the whole family had one each. You know, but when we think about prosperity and we think about blessings, many times we think about the material. That's what, I'm not talking about that tonight. That's not real riches. That's not where the real blessings of life are. The truth is what is going to bless you. The truth. The Bible says in the Old Testament, buy the truth and sell it not. If you're going to invest in anything, invest in the truth. And when you buy it, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't let the truth slip. Hold on to it. The Bible says in Psalm 119, the truth is a light unto our path. The truth will light your way. As a sinner, the truth will light your way to the cross. The gospel is the light that God has given to mankind so that he can be saved from a devil's hell. Would you trust Jesus tonight? He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. The third day he rose again for our justification. Do you believe that? Will you repent of sin and trust the Lord Jesus tonight? Jesus is the light to the sinner. Not only that, the truth is what lights the believer's path all the way to glory. The Bible also says the truth is a lamp unto our feet. By the way, I'm just an old country boy, and I like to collect old barn lanterns and railroad lanterns, kerosene lanterns. And Brother Ben, when you got an old-fashioned lantern and you go out in the barn, you ain't got a whole lot of light. But you know what? You got enough light for the next step. So you won't step in something you didn't mean to step into. You know, when you got the lamp, brother, I don't need God to show me the next 50 steps he wants me to take. I'd probably get confused if he told me all the next 50 steps. I don't need the Lord to show me the next 5 steps that I'll take. I just need the Lord to show me the very next step. That's all I need. That's all you need. And you know what? The Lord will show you that. If you rely upon Him, if you'll trust in Him, His Word will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. You know, the truth will help you avoid danger. I have known of people that would be alive today had they just simply obeyed God's Word. Because the truth of God's Word will help you have a tremendous defense, help you to avoid dangerous situations. It helps us through the darkness of this world. It gives us the light for the next step. I love this verse in Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you saved? Have you been saved very long? Have you grown in the Lord? Perhaps you say, well, I haven't been saved very long. I don't know as much about the Bible as I'd like to know. Perhaps you've been saved for quite a while and you just hadn't been grounded in the Scriptures. Do you want to be? Do you want to be grounded in the truth? Well, let me give you some scriptural advice tonight, I believe. Start obeying the light that you already have. If you're saved, you have some light. You may not have a whole lot, but you got some light. You had enough light to get saved. Well, whatever you know the Bible says, start obeying it. And then to get into God's Word, listen to the pastor, listen to some good gospel preaching, listen to the Word of God mostly, and start obeying it. Whatever light God gives you, just obey it. You know what? You'll grow some more. And then you get back into God's Word and you read some more, you study some more. You know what? You start obeying that. You know what? You'll grow some more. Next thing you know, you have grown in the Lord. You know more about the wisdom of God and understanding and the knowledge that God would have all of us to have. I tell you what, if you'll obey the light that you already have and start obeying all the light that God gives you, you'll grow. I'll guarantee you, if you'll just start obeying the Word of God. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then finally, the truth provides a footpath to blessing for us if we'll obey it, if we'll follow it. But what about the next generation? Are you worried about your kids? Are you worried about your grandkids? Brother, I'm worried about them. I'm concerned about them. I want them to have the same truth guiding them and blessing them that has guided me and blessed me, which is the Word of God. I want them to have the kind of blessing that I've enjoyed. How they're going to have it, we got to pass it on down. Brother, they're not going to get what I'm talking about down at the public schoolhouse. I'm just telling you, they won't get it down there. They've outlawed God. They've outlawed prayer. Where are they going to get it? You better give it to them. It's your job, not just the pastors, not just the Sunday school teacher. It's your job to give your kids the truth and your grandkids. You say, they won't listen. Give it to them anyhow. Let God do the rest. Now, I know we got to give it out in love, but brother, are you really loving them if you don't give them the truth? Do you believe a preacher that just pussyfoots around and tiptoes around and won't tell you about a devil's hell? Do you believe he really loves you? He won't tell you how to escape hell? Do you believe that preacher really loves you? No, he don't love you. He loves what you're giving him and putting in his back pocket. Tickle your ears and scratch your back every Sunday. Brother, I want a man to tell me the truth. I want a man to tell me something that's going to help me leave this old world and be with the Lord one of these days. And a man of God will do that because he really loves you. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. A man that won't tell you the truth, brother, he don't love you. And we as parents, we need to love our kids and our grandkids enough to give them the truth. Paul passed it on down to Timothy. I'll leave you with this. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I admire your pastor, and I'm not just trying to build him up, put him on the pedestal, but I admire him because he don't just win souls to Jesus, he tries to disciple people. You know why that's important too? And I think that's the thing that's missing in our fundamental movement is not only getting people saved, but discipling them to help them grow. To help them to know there's more beyond just getting saved. There's 66 books to study in this one book to help them grow in the grace and the knowledge, and to help them to have the kind of family that they need. Help them to have the kind of life that they really ought to have for the Lord. Thank God for people like that that will not only win souls to Christ, but people that will think enough of them to take them under their wings, so to speak, and disciple them. Paul did that for Timothy. He said, Timothy, what I have taught you, you go out and find some other faithful man, and you teach him everything you know. And then that man, he goes out and he finds another faithful man, and he teaches him everything he knows. And then that man goes out and finds another faithful man, and he teaches him everything he knows, and then they teach others also. That's the way it works. I think that's where we're dropping the ball. We're not discipling people as we should. Yeah, we need to win people to Jesus. We need to disciple them. Paul did. He didn't just give them the ball and say, run with it. He told them how to run with it. How to continue on in the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this good hour. Thank you for the truth. Lord, it's the only thing that can set us free. Thank you for thy word is truth. Help us to be sanctified by it. Help us to be washed by it on a daily basis. Help us to be led by it, that we might honor you in this evil day in which we live, that we might be the testimony and witness that you'd have us to be. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.